Okay, I think that we start, even Elina is not here yet. But when I look at you, I think that most of you are foreign students. Can you raise your hands? Great, yes, wonderful. And some local students as well, and some staff members. So my name is Mari-Kristiina Lerkkanen, and I work in the teacher education department. And my background is in teaching and learning and teacher education and in reading studies and motivational studies. I'm going to spend these 25 minutes talking about the learning motivation and classroom interactions, and especially I'm focusing on our large-scale long-term study of first steps, which Anna-Maja Poikki has already mentioned at the morning. I start with this very big frame of the skill and will by Pintrich and colleagues, that high learning outcomes require both skills and will. So not only cognitive skills and academic skills are enough for high level learning, but there is motivational needs as well. I'm very happy that Mikko Aro just talked about these things already before me. The believe on yourself, self-concept, self-efficacy is part of that motivational structure, but also the interest and the value of the task, the subject fields, and things you really want to learn and you are really keen on and interest, so much interest to that. But of course then the learning happens in some environment, and in our studies we have focus on the kindergarten and primary and secondary school learning environments, but also at home environment as a learning environment. If we look at the classroom and the quality of the classroom, we can look it from the two different points. It's more typical to look the structural features of the classroom quality. It means that then we are looking at what they are doing there, what the teacher is doing, who is teaching the children, what kind of educational background the teacher has, how many work experience years they have behind them, and where the teaching is happening. So what kind, how many children are in the group, what is adult-child ratio in the group, how many aides or helpers there are, how much special education resources they have in that school. But in Finnish studies, these structural features have shown no variation or very little one. The only thing which varies between the classrooms is the group size and the amount of adults in the group. But the other things, like we have the national curriculum and the standards are equal to everyone, materials are quite high level, and the training and education of teachers are pretty much the same. Just recently, quite amount of research has shown that actually the process quality is much more important to learning and motivation. Well, the structural features have some elements and some effect to that, but the process features, that how the things are going on in the classroom, how the teachers actually instructing the students, what kind of a climate there is in the classroom, how the peer group is supporting each other, what kind of relationships the students have, and what kind of interactions there are going on in the classroom. And even there is some effect of the structural features, the process features are so strong that actually also the structural features go through the process quality to child outcomes, so children's academic learning and the social development as well. So what is then classroom quality? It's quite vague actually to just talk about it very general level. And in many cases it's actually need observational data. And there's a lot of different kind of, many different kind of observational instruments available in the world, and you have to be very careful when you are selecting the instruments, because there are different aims behind, different philosophy behind of them. I think the most well-known and still very strongly going using is that Eckers instrument. There's Eckers revised version and also Eckers extension version, which is more focusing on the curriculum elements. But it's the rating scales scale where you look the quality of early childhood environment, so 0 to 8 years old children's classroom environment, use of space, material experiences, which enhance a child's development, but also in the revised version, there's a focus of the processes, interactions between the teacher and the students. But it's mainly focusing on those structural features and the quality of them. So ranking from 1, low quality, to 7, high quality. Then another very global level instrument is so-called ECOM instrument, which is Early Childhood Classroom Observation Measure. And for the later grades, there is a so-called ISTOF instrument, which is quite the same as this ECOM instrument for young children. So it's the ECOM means the teaching practices, how they are affecting the student outcome and motivation in preschool and kindergarten programs, but also in early school years. And the rating scale is from 1 to 5, but the idea behind is that each teacher uses child-centered and teacher-directed and sometimes also child-dominated practices. And the observation actually lasts the whole day, and you make some kind of conclusion after the whole day observation that how much child-centered practices you saw in the classroom, how much teacher-directed and how much child-dominated practices in climate management and instruction. Then we can look at the classroom processes in cycles, not the whole day or like Eckers look the whole learning environment as a global level. Going to the more detail, so the class instrument looks at the quality in the cycles, 15 or 20 minute cycles. So there's observation, live observation, or observation from videotapes where you have 15, 20 minutes video clips or cycles in the classroom, and you observe through 10 dimensions that what is going on, and you are rating the quality from 1 to 7 after each cycle. And then when you're collecting at least 4 cycles per teacher, you make the average score of the quality of certain dimensions. I go more detail to that class because we have used that a lot. There's a different version of the class for infants, toddlers, pre-K, K3, middle school, and also secondary school. So the idea behind is pretty much the same in its age level, but a little bit modification depending on the age of children. Then if you want to go even more detailed, then one example of that kind of observation instrument is this ICI, Individualized Student Instruction, which is developed by Carol Connor and Fred Morrison. And it looks that it's mostly focusing on the literacy activities in the classroom, what are going on in each 20 seconds. So after each 20 seconds, you rate from the videotape that what kind of practices the children got from the teacher and what kind of task, what they are actually practicing. And after the whole lesson, you are counting how many seconds they practice what kind of skills. Are they more focusing on the code focus or meaning focus practices or many other things which you can have a look. Okay, if we look at the class instrument a little bit more, there is three domains of the classroom quality. And the classroom quality from Pianta's point of view is the teacher-student interaction quality. We can look at the domains like emotional support, classroom organization, and instructional support. And below of them are 10 dimensions. So emotional support means that what kind of relationship affects respect and communication there is, for example, in the classroom. So the climate things and the sensitivity of the teacher and how the teacher is regarding for students' perspective during the cycles. Then classroom organization is more like behavioral management in the classroom, the productivity of the teaching, so how productive the teacher is. For example, has the teacher planned the lesson very effectively way, so how much of the time you are using for learning, teaching and learning. And then the instructional formats, is there some variety of them and how these learning formats are promoting student interest and engagement to the learning activities. And the third one is instructional support, and in this K3 version there is three dimensions called concept development, quality of feedback, and language modeling. When you go to the secondary school, for example, it's more and more focusing on the language skills, but also analyzing and thinking skills and that kind of idea. So it's more or less about the language, though. So how the language has been used is used in the instructional situations, and what kind of feedback the teacher is giving to the students and in the learning situations, and does that feedback support the children's learning? So is there, for example, feedback loops which are focused to the learning of the child? And in the secondary school version, there is also the 11th or 12th dimension, which is student engagement version. Dimension that you looked at, how the students are engaged in the learning situations during the cycle. Okay, I promised to tell some examples of the first step study results. There's two parts of the results. We have been interested about the children's learning, the development of academic skills and motivation. In the first phase was from kindergarten to grade four, so it was 5 years follow-up, and the second phase is from grade 6 to grade 7 and then grade 9, which is now going on. And then we were very interested about the risk for learning problems, specifically reading problems among these children. And then we were interested about the learning environments, how the learning environment at home, so the parents, how they are supporting children's learning at home, and then the teachers, how the teachers in kindergarten classroom, primary classroom, secondary school are supporting children's learning and motivation. And also the partnership and trust between the adults, between parents and teachers, but between the colleagues as well in the school, and between the principal teacher and the teacher in that school as well, and are they affecting the child's learning paths? So this is not only my thing to do. There's plenty of other persons working in this area. We have about 10 senior researchers from three universities: University of Jyväskylä, Turku, and Eastern University. About 10 postdocs and about 10 doctoral students. But during these years, there has been, I think, maybe 50 persons who have worked as a researchers shorter or longer period of time. We have been very lucky to have also international students in our group, quite many of them, and we have been lucky to have funding for this from different sources. So it's very well-funded research project. We have very active collaboration with the many institutions, and most of the collaboration is to write joint articles with them from the same issues, or we are organizing conferences or seminars or conference symposiums together, or applied even funding to some sub-project. For example, now the CARE project, which Anna-Maja mentioned, is one of those which are focusing the same ideas, but the age group is 0 to 6. So more specifically, this longitudinal investigation, it's an age cohort investigation, where we are looking at the development of motivation and academic skills across educational transitions in the context of kindergarten, school, and family. So the transitions are those points which are very risky to children's learning. The transition from kindergarten to school, the next transition from early school years to third or fourth grade, and then from sixth to seventh grade, and then from ninth forward. We are interested to identify the individual factors of the students, the risk and beliefs and motivation and so on. the structural factors of the schools and the classrooms, and the instructional processes, what is happening, actually happening in the classroom, and how these are fostering the skill development, engagement, and motivation. But beside of that, we are interested on online processes using the mobile phones and develop the feedback processes using that equipment, and also the teacher interventions where we are focusing on the classroom quality. And Anna-Maja already mentioned that it's a Skidikit project, which are more and more focusing on these the teacher interventions, where we try to support teachers to see their own work, videotape their own lessons, and we look them together and try to organize that what is going on and how to go to the high quality interaction with the students. The study is, as I mentioned, at three universities, but the data has been collected from Turku, Laukaa, Kuopio, and Joensuu, and intervention has been made also in Kajaani. So just very shortly about the design of the whole study. So there is about 2,000 children, their teachers, special education teachers, and their parents, both mothers and fathers, and also the principals in the phase two. Group testing, parent rating, teacher rating of their own, like self-ratings, but also ratings of the children's behavior in the classroom. And then, of course, these observational issues using the class, the ECOM, and ICI procedure. In phase one, the transition from kindergarten to primary school, we looked at the cognitive skills behind the reading and spelling and math skills, and the pre-skills also. And we knew already quite a lot of those kind of paths, learning paths or developmental paths, based on the previous studies made in Jyväskylä University, for example, long-term study of dyslexia. And then there's another long-term study which has looked a lot the motivational part of learning, called YEP study, the entrance to the school. And now we combine the ideas from those two longitudinal studies together and try to look the interaction between the skill development and the motivational issues more closely. But then we added also the social skills, peer relations in the classroom, behavioral problems, and student teacher interaction and relationship, and teacher's emotions to the students' learning situation, or especially when the child has some problems in the learning, so what kind of relationship the teacher has with that kind of children. In the second phase, when we go to from primary to secondary school, we are more interested about student characteristics and engagement in the classroom, and engagement to peer group, the tasks facing in the classroom, and engagement to teacher. And then how the teacher characteristics and the classroom level quality are affecting the motivation, skill development, and child's well-being in the classroom. So the theoretical assumptions is something like this. So we think that the classroom quality or teacher-child interaction will have some effect to child outcomes. So what might be the role of motivation in this process? And we thought that it might be some kind of mediation effect between the teacher's action and the skill development. And that was the beginning point of the analysis. And actually, Eija Pakarinen, who has made her PhD from that kindergarten data, also has shown that the instruction support and classroom organization, low teacher stress, the quality of observed quality of those are affecting to the motivation of children, and the high motivation is affecting the skill development. Martti Siekkinen from Joensuu has also looked at instructional support quality effect to social competence of the kindergarten classroom, and has published some paper on that too. Then when we have moved to the secondary school, Tuomo Virtanen, who is making his PhD study in this university, has been interested in focusing his studies to student engagement in secondary school. And this was a pilot study before we went to the second phase of the first step study to the secondary school. Just check that is there same kind of effect in secondary school in classroom quality and student engagement as was shown already in kindergarten and primary school. And Tuomo showed that yes, there is the quality, the higher the quality of the classroom, the more engaged the children, the students are when they rate their own engagement, when the teacher rates the classroom level engagement, and when the engagement was also observed in the classroom. Then some words about the identification of risk of reading disability, which was one important focus of the first step study. Based on the previous studies of dyslexia, we knew already that there is some key indicators which we need to focus more to pick up those children who are in the risk, so 15% percentile in kindergarten spring in pre-reading tests. And these are the main indicators we use: the letter naming, phonemic awareness, rapid serial naming, so very slow in that, and if the child has some familiar background for reading disability already, and which we can see from the parents' own reports. And then we had a very much closer look of these 257 children and the control children who were randomly selected from the classmates of these at-risk children. Just only some things from this specific group. First, we see if this is the age level, this red here, we saw that even that 15 percentile group was minus one lower level in the beginning, about half of them caught up the age level in the end of the second grade, and they kept their level in technical reading there. But the other two groups, the moderate lack group and substantial lack group four, they had some troubles with the reading skills development all the time. Even this arrow looks like that they drop a lot. It actually means that the difference between this group and the average level group grow in the beginning quite a lot. So even this group, of course, they develop in their reading skills all the time, but the development was so slow that when you compare it to the age group, it looks like this. Then we also looked at what will explain why these children caught up the age level. And there was quite nice things which we found. For example, that already in the kindergarten classroom, children in that group, they growth more than other risk children in their pre-reading skills, even they still were lag behind age level. The other thing which we have seen in the school age then is the motivational aspects, that the caught up group children kept their self-confidence very high, their self-beliefs were very high, their interest was very high, and they used the task-focused strategies and their learning rated by the teacher a lot. So some kind of explanations might can be found from the motivational part to these results. Then we look also at how the teachers are reacting to the low-level children. And we saw that actually the children who have some problems in reading development, the teachers react immediately. So the classroom teacher is giving supporting during the normal class hours, but the remedial instruction or part-time special need instruction are offered to these children. The bad news is that actually it doesn't help so much. but we actually don't know if they don't get any help, is the situation even more worse. But in any way, it seems to be so that teachers and schools react to that quite soon, from the beginning already. Then our colleagues from Virginia University have shown that specifically children at multiple problems benefit the emotional support, high-level emotional support in the classroom. So from this picture you can see that children who don't have any problems in their learning, it doesn't matter so much what is the level of emotional support in the classroom. They just do fine. But the children who have some problems or challenges in their learning, the higher the emotional support in the classroom, the better they achieve in the test situations. We have testing this as well in our classrooms now, and there's not so much differences in kindergarten classroom in emotional support, so it's very difficult to find some effect. But now when we have moved to primary school, we have seen that also in our primary school, the emotional support and the relation between the teacher and students is very important part of learning, especially to children with some challenges in their learning. The last thing I will show you is about the findings of family support. So the family environment, does it have some effect also? And our postdoctoral researcher, Kinta Silinskas, has focused more on this maternal literacy teaching at home. And there's some very interesting findings from his PhD and also studies after that the maternal literacy teaching at home has a positive effect on children's literacy skills before the school. So I think that is more like an interaction between the child and the parent, that if a child is interested about letters and text and reading, he or she invites the parents to help and advise and foster or promote those skills. But as soon as the child goes to schools, the parents whose children are low achievers activate, and it seems to be too late, and there is not positive effect anymore to children's reading skills development. Then Kintas look a little bit closer at what kind of support the parents, the teacher, mothers are actually giving to the children. And he found that mothers who were very engaged in high levels of controlling behavior, but they stayed very supportive and positive in homework situation, from that group, the children with low reading skills, the parents helped them affect it to their development positive way. Then we have looked at trust between the teacher and mothers, and we have shown that the teacher's behavior in the classroom and teaching practices are affecting to the mutual trust between the mothers and teachers, and also that the more environmental protective factors we can find to at-risk children, the better the children do later on. And then also that the child task avoidant behavior in the homework context has an effect on parental success beliefs. This is a study by Catherine Mackey and her dissertation. Today, you have a possibility to learn something more from the first step study. So Kinta Silinskas will chair the meeting where half of the studies are from the special education department and half of these are from the first step study, the teacher education department. So then there is also Paula Alasuvantu is about teacher interventions together at school. So you are very welcome in the afternoon to this session. Okay, thank you. That was very good. I thought that I had 30 minutes and it's sharp, 30 minutes.
One question. Okay, we allow one question while Hannu gets ready. One question, or you can also ask questions when you attend the session in the afternoon that Gintas will be chair. Okay, fine. Thank you, Hannu.
Thank you very much indeed. So here we go. My name is Hannu Heikkinen, and I'm currently working in the Finnish Institute for Educational Research and the Department of Teacher Education. And I've been doing this thing kind of for more or less for 10 years. So I've been drifting around between the Finnish Institute for Educational Research and the Faculty of Education. And well, probably the reason why is that I am interested in too many things in the same time. And I've been also working together with the local schools and teachers. And that's, I think, that's kind of my special interest as well. And probably one of the reasons is that, actually, honestly, I'm a primary school teacher originally, and I'm proud of that. And I've been working as a primary school teacher for 10 years of my life. And well, that's my choice then. Anyway, I think I'm afraid we are running a bit late. I'm doing my best to keep it short, and probably leave something out of this presentation, which is about teachers' professional development. And the theme today in this colloquium is opportunities, challenges, and future. So I will not only talk about some highlights of research, but also something about the future challenges and opportunities. I'm starting this presentation with a quotation, which some years ago, probably it was not so many years ago, I was participating in ceremony of the newly qualified teachers, we just got their diplomas. And there was a guy, it was one of the student teachers who had the speech. And he told a very, very important lesson to me, which was about this. Your teacher diploma is like your driving license. It does not mean that you can drive well. It means that you have legal permission to train your driving skills without supervision. So that's about the teaching diploma. And I have been remembering this since then. Actually, honestly, it was 35 years ago. And the guy who told this at the moment is working as the chair of teachers' union in Finland, Olli Luukkainen. So, but there's a very, very clear and very important message here. So if you think about teacher education, pre-service teacher education, you might think it's a long period. It's 5 years of your life. 5 years, it's a long time, isn't that? But start to imagine what happens after that. At the age of 25, perhaps, you are a graduated teacher. And then you hit the road. And how many times of these 5 years is followed after that? How many times? At the age of 65, you're retiring. It's altogether 40 years. And then think about that. If you imagine that you can learn how to be a teacher in those 5 years compared to that period of time which you spend as a teacher in a school, it's a huge difference. And this is, for me, this is a very clear message that we, as researchers and teacher educators, must pay much attention to this in-service professional development. And especially the induction phase of teaching career, which has been described as a bridge over the troubled waters, because the first years as a teacher very, very often are the most challenging ones. And this is the reason why I personally have focused so much on teacher induction and mentoring of newly qualified teachers. And together with my colleagues, we have developed a model of peer group mentoring, which is in Finnish vertaisryhmä mentorointi, and that gives the acronym VERME. And so we organize mentoring for new teachers in small groups, peer groups. And that's the kind of model which has been developed throughout these last 10 or 15 years. And now is being disseminated throughout Finland by all the teacher education institutions in Finland, both vocational and the universities. And we also have been doing some research work based on this peer group mentoring model. And some of the highlights are here. The book, which was published by the international publisher Routledge, and then the latest publication in teaching and teacher education, which was kind of international comparative research about different mentoring practices in Finland, in Sweden, and in Australia. So that about those highlights. But for the rest of this speech, I'm going to focus more on the opportunities and challenges and kind of future perspectives in this field, on the field of professional development of teachers. This presentation is divided into two parts. What are the challenges and opportunities for research and for improving the practices of teacher development? I mean teacher education and the practices of continuing the teacher development. In this colloquium, it was mentioned earlier that more studies are needed in order to understand the prerequisites of developing innovative learning environments. And I really agree. The teaching practices themselves are important as well. And it was very interesting to listen to Maria Kristiina's presentation about how the teacher actually act, how they, I mean, the pedagogical practices or educational practices, both in schools and in families. But there is something beyond those practices. And I'm very interested about these prerequisites or, in other words, practice architectures of teacher learning and development. This is based on the work of Stephen Kemis, who is the honorary doctor of Jyväskylä University Faculty of Education. And he has introduced the theory of practice architectures lately, some years ago with some of his colleagues. And we are building up a research program based on this theory. And we have been applying some funding, and we have got some funding from somewhere, and applying some more funding. And I think Josephine Mote, which is one member of the team, is together with me, looking forward to the decisions of the Academy of Finland, because every year we have had excellent reviews but no money. So let's see what happens this year. Anyway, the point is that the key question is that what prefigures, which is enables and constrains social practices and adapted to teacher behavior or teacher teaching practices, we would ask, what prefigures practices of teacher development and educational practices more generally? And these are the research questions. So how are the practice architectures of professional development of teachers constituted within the various national settings? And it's kind of comparative study between Finland, Sweden, Norway, Australia, and the UK. So let's see what happens. But we have been doing some collaborative work already, but practically without proper funding. And we are also interested about the second question: how these practices actually travel across and between different national settings. In Finland, I would say the practices of teaching are very special in some sense. We may say that teachers in Finland are trusted. We don't have any standardization of pedagogical practices in Finland. We don't have inspection. We don't have, practically speaking, we don't have control as much as in most of other countries. It's kind of very special feature in Finnish practices of education. But we have high trust, high autonomy, and high social status among teachers. And why is that? How is this enabled? How is this prefigured? This is the question. So it has something to do with the autonomy of teachers. And I've been making a distinction between what I call weak sense autonomy and strong sense autonomy. Autonomy in weak sense means that one is critical towards others and it's based on some egocentric and biased beliefs. But if you take the strong sense autonomy, it means that it starts from self-reflection and it's based on high professional values and not just egocentric or professional interests. So that was about the research challenges. Now some words about how to improve the practices of teacher development in Finland. I mean the practices, how to act, how to organize teacher education. And one more time, I have to come back to the what I said just in the very beginning. How important it is to learn and to work, to learn and teachers work. We did a national review on the practices of teacher development in Finland, and it was published just a couple of months ago. The Finnish name is Ope ei saa oppia or Ope saa oppia. You can read it actually in two ways. And in English, something like teacher learns or learns not. Anyway, the aim of this review was to explore models of teacher development in Finland and abroad and to make a proposal how to develop the continuum of teacher development in Finland. And this is how we did it. We had an expert group of 57 Finnish experts. They were teacher educators, researchers, teachers, teacher students, principals, education providers, human research and personal development experts in some companies and labor market organizations. They formed the Finnish expert group. And we also had an international expert group which has had 8 experts from Estonia, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, the UK and the USA. And we interviewed these people. We had one-to-one interviews, and we also have had some focus group interviews. Then we did some meta-analysis of the previous research on this area. And I have to say at this point that very important research work on practices of teacher education has been also done in Finnish Institute for Educational Research. And one of the most important projects has been the mobility and transition of pedagogical expertise in Finland, in Finnish pedagoginen asiantuntijuusliikkeessä project. And in that project, those guys have been asking questions, why teachers' job is so popular in Finland? Why those young boys and girls want to become teachers. why they want to change to somewhere else if they want. So it's more or less about the mobility from to teacher's profession, and you know, the traffic between those. Anyway, and then we had some online questionnaire following these interviews and focus group, and the results were published in on a website and in a video, and also, of course, in a publication, a book. I'm just looking if you think we have time, because I thought that now we will have some kind of interaction and collaboration between the foreign and the native Finnish people here, because there's a video, and I think most of you can imagine what happens here, what is the story told. And my idea was that we form small groups of, let's say, from 3 to 5 people, and there must be some foreign people who can't any Finnish and some native Finns. And then the task is that, the foreign participants try to understand what these guys are doing in this video, and then explain that story to the Finns. And then the Finns then explain if this interpretation was more or less correct, or what do you like to add. Okay, so here we go. So this is the short version of the National Review of Teaching, Teacher Education Practices. So I'm very curious to know what you think happened here in this video. So please form some groups where you have foreign people and then native Finnish people, and then 5 minutes talking about this video, please. So please, one more minute, then we are going on. Excuse me. It's wonderful to hear you to talk, but we are trying to collect some ideas together with. So, what did you see there? What did you see there in the video? What do you think happened? Anybody? Yeah.
As I understood from this video, it's like there are two people. They're just they were teacher, the man, and they just it was maybe their first job. Hmm. And then the man, the male teacher, he didn't get that much support from the colleagues or from the school, or the environment was not that much supportive for him. So he was just exhausted, and he didn't know what to do, how to do. It's like one kind of stressed in his mind. And the male teacher, her working environment was supportive. He gets lots of support from the colleagues. They have discussion and support. So she has this nice feeling about his job and her job, and she is doing well in her job, like this.
Oh, that was perfect. I think we have applause now. Yeah, that was a perfect explanation of that video. Yeah. So anyway, so this was kind of the short version of our national review of teacher education practices, and there are a couple of more comments which are from the data. The Finnish teacher education is sleeping a beauty sleep, and especially the in-service teacher education has some problems. We must pay much more in attention to that. So that is the basic message. Well, we do have some messages for the policymakers and so on and so forth, but I'm not reading these. But we have some recommendations also for universities and the vocational teacher education colleges, and I think I will concentrate on the focus on the most important, which is to take care that teacher education deals versatile with the surrounding society and various interfaces of teachers' work, which is very close to the basic idea which was introduced in the very beginning of this colloquium by Vitunjala, who was talking about the third task of university. And she told that it's rather a principle than a task. And basically it is that teaching and research should be done within the surrounding society in an ongoing dialogue and collaboration with it. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, good morning to all of you. I'm Jouni Välijärvi. I'm coming from the same institute as Hannu, and I have around 15 minutes to speak about international comparative studies we are doing at our institute. Our institute actually is it has a quite special role as part of the university, because we don't have any master programs. We have only doctoral students, and our main focus is in in educational research. And we are doing different kind of studies on all levels of educational systems, but today I will concentrate on this international comparative studies, which are mainly almost all concentrated into our institute in Finland. Just to put in nutshell what this kind of large-scale assessment in international context, what do they mean in practice? And when you are thinking about your own research activities, it's good to be in mind, and what are the possibilities, what are the advantages of this type of studies we are doing at our institute. First of all, it's important to stress that if you are interested on educational systems, comparing different educational systems all over the world in different countries, in different parts of the world, and how they are related to societies, how they are related to context where they exist, then this type of data sets and this type of research are very much in your interest. Focus is not so much in school level or individual level. We produce also estimates on school level, how schools are doing inside country, and compare that a little, but that's not the main focus. And when we go to individual level, we can calculate estimates also on individual level, but on that level the results are not so reliable as on system level because of the sampling and the general design of these studies. What we are trying to find out in these studies, it's very much in learning outcomes, but that's not the only one. There are also studies where learning outcomes are not so much in focus. For instance, focus can be in teachers and teacher education, this type of issues, or in use of ICT, for instance. But the main interest where these international studies have started, it's very much how students learn in different educational systems. What are the learning outcomes of educational systems in different countries, different cultures, and how they are related to factors behind level of society, on level of school, and level of individual students. Individual students, how they are related to their home factors, the support of parents, and so on. This type of questions we are interested. And of course, the main interest behind all this is to find good practices, compare them, analyze them, why some systems are doing better, are there some secrets behind good results. This is a question that has been asked from Finnish researchers and Finnish teachers many times during the last 10, 15 years, when Finland has been doing very well, especially in PISA. But I can tell you that there's no simple explanation. Educational systems are very much related to cultural factors, and explaining models behind the results are always also related to these factors. But we can see some similarities, and always we can learn from each other something. What we are measuring when we are speaking about learning outcomes? It's mainly these studies are mainly focusing on reading literacy, mathematics, and science. These three domains are very much in interest in all over the world. And why is that? It's because these three domains are seen as core areas, core competencies. Skills on these areas are core competencies to live in modern world and to survive, for instance, in working life or in further studies in secondary level or in higher education. Unfortunately, this focus is in many ways too much in these three domains. And fortunately, there are also some studies where we are following, for instance, how students are learning civic and citizenship competencies, which are becoming more and more important in globalized world. We have also some studies where health education is measured. For instance, this faculty where we are now is conducting international study where they are following the well-being and health issues of young people in the same way as we are doing in reading, literacy, mathematics and science. And focus is mainly in basic education, but not only. There are also some interest or some studies on secondary education and higher education. Typical this type of large-scale assessment, it covers around 30 to 70 countries, typically in most cases there are countries from highly developed countries like European countries, USA, Australia, but also growing number of countries coming from South America and Asia and also some African countries. But unfortunately, very few African countries today are able to participate because of their limited resources and weak infrastructure. They are not able to meet the quality criteria of these studies. Target population typically is 10 to 15-year-olds, but also in some studies, higher education students and the whole adult population. And the coverage, and this is important to keep in mind, that when we are comparing educational systems, we always want to cover the whole cohort, all students, including also students with special needs, students in special schools and so on, to get realistic picture how able educational systems are to meet the needs of individual students, and not only focusing on average students or talented students, but also in many cases especially on students with learning problems, and also to trying to understand into what kind of factors these weak results are related to. And of course it's important that sampling is based on randomizing both on school level and student level. There are two types of sampling. We speak about age-based sample, like in PISA, we take random sample of 15-year-olds in each school which have been selected into the study, then we get quite a good picture on school level, but the problem is that we are not able to compare different classes inside schools. And the other option is to have grade-based sample when we take whole teaching groups inside school, and typically two or three in each school, then we can also compare if there are differences inside schools between different teaching groups. This is one interesting finding, that when we compare Nordic countries, we find very small differences between schools in Finland, smaller than in any other Nordic country. But when we compare teaching groups in other Nordic countries, we don't find any differences between teaching groups inside schools. But in Finland, that's not the case. Even in fourth grade, we already have quite significant differences between teaching groups inside Finnish schools. And this is something that is clearly against the basic ideas of our comprehensive school. And that's the question we are trying to figure out, what is behind that. Then it's very standardized and, of course, well documented for teachers. And what is important to you to know, that all these databases, what these studies produce, are open to all researchers and everybody who is interested. You can download these data sets from internet, but of course you need also that's expertise to analyze them. And then very briefly about the studies we are conducting and organizations behind that. There are two main organizations in the world which are conducting, who are interested to organize this type of studies. IEA is Association of Research Institute. It has already 50 years history, starting from 60s when Finland also started to participate into these studies. And it's an association of research institutes mainly, and history is very much in the research interest. OECD is the governmental international organization where ministries are members, and it's running, for instance, PISA study. That's maybe the most well-known. These are the two main actors on the field. Then is also WHO that is organizing this students' well-being, the students' health study that is conducted here at the Faculty of Sports and Health Education. It's not our study. And the UNESCO is important. It's not conducting their own studies, but they are very much using these other studies and making all kind of reanalyses and publishing very interesting findings based on that. Then some words about individual studies. TIMSS is a study that is where the focus is in mathematics and science, and it's comparing learning outcomes on the fourth grade and eighth grade. Finland is participating on this fourth grade study. And it's not only focusing on learning outcomes, but it's also gathering very, very large background data. They have questionnaire for students, they have questionnaire for principals, they have questionnaire for teachers, and they have questionnaire for parents. And then we can find very interesting correlation, for instance, between the activities, support of homes and students' learning outcomes in mathematics and science. And what is also interesting in all these studies, and already when we are focusing on fourth graders, is that we find a very high correlation between motivational factors and cognitive factors. It seems one characteristic for Finnish education system seems to be that this type of motivational factors like engagement, interest, self-concept, self-efficacy, they are correlating on very high level with outcomes in mathematics, science, and reading. If compared to other countries, correlations are, in many cases, double. That's something that follows that we have to focus very much on pedagogical issues if we want to keep our learning outcomes in cognitive side high. And this is one issue that has been raised also very important in the present reform of national core curriculum. PEARLS is very similar as the TIMSS study. Their focus is in reading literacy. It's program, international program on reading literacy. And these figures which are shown here, they tell the year when the main data is gathered. These are not only single studies, these are nowadays more and more study programs where also trend data is gathered, and then we can say also more and more about how learning outcomes are changing, how they are developing, and what are the factors related to those changes. Here the focus is, or the target group is also fourth graders, and and also Perls is gathering quite a large background information from students, schools, teachers, and parents. Then ICCS is the study, International Civic and Citizenship Study, that is interested in students' skills for the modern society, how able students are to be active citizens in modern society. And also in these studies, it's not only measuring the knowledge about society and basic principles of modern societies, democracy, and so on. It's also the studies in this study. We are also interested about the behavior of students, how active students are to participate in social activities in different forms, how interested they are to participate in school level activities and so on. That here the target group is eighth graders, so around 14-15 year olds. And what is typical on this area in Finland is that students know our social system of our society very, very well, but they are very passive to participate in that. At the same time, they know the structures of democracy, but they are not very interested to act as active citizens of democracy, and that's something very special to Finland, and this is also very much in the focus of the reform of core curriculum today. Then this study is ICILS. They're that is interested in use of information technology. Finland is not participating in this study, but we have some national studies about this. And then, of course, PISA, that's the most well-known international study today. And PISA, in PISA, all these three domains, reading, mathematics, and science, are in focus at the same time. But there's also some additional part in every study. In present study, we are interested about collaborative skills of young people, how able they are for collaborative learning in school. And first time PISA is now run in schools using only computers. We don't have any paper-based tests anymore, only using computerized tests. And that this will be the future, I believe, in all other studies too. I'm sorry about the quality of this picture, but then only to mention that we have different also studies where the focus is more outside educational system. This is about a DIAC study where we are testing investigating the reading skills, mathematical basic skills, and problem-solving skills of the whole adult population from 15-year-olds to 64-year-olds. And this is a very special study in that sense that data has been gathered as home interviews. Researchers have went to home of people and make tests there, and it makes this type of study also very, very expensive. And then only to mention Tali's study, where focus is in teachers and teacher education, how teachers see themselves in the present schools, and what kind of support they get for their professional development, the topic Hannu was speaking earlier. And one finding is that this support of teachers in Finnish schools is quite fragmented today and very badly resourced. And this is just challenging our teacher education and Ministry of Education how to reorganize teachers in service training and professional development in the future. And then only to mention that there are some pilot studies or feasibility studies actually where we are trying to find ways how to measure learning outcomes on in higher education. This is OECD study called AHELO, and just now we are starting the next phase where we are trying to get the study into the next level, and the idea behind this study that there are some general skills also in higher education which should be covered by all domains, not depending on the individual subject or individual domain, some generic skills, and we are trying to capture these skills in this study. But it's really challenging task, and the future will show if we will succeed in that. And then the last one, this health behavior school age children study that is in international level organized by World Health Organization, and their focus is very much in the well-being of students and then their health behavior. But it's very similar in that sense that it's based on whole cohort sample or sampling, taking sample from the whole age cohort and following well-being of students on regular basis, starting new study every second year. Here, very, very briefly, what we are doing, but it's good to keep in mind that if you are interested to participate or use this type of data sets, they are available by you. And if you go to OECD or IEA or our websites, you can start from there to study how to use those data sets. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for the interesting presentation. We are a bit late, but do we allow one question?
Okay. I don't want to steal too many minutes.
Yes. Let's steal one more minute, one okay. or two. If not, you know where to find Jouni and ask for more. Or we'll... Thank you. And as you know, in the afternoon we have sessions continuing, and then you will get the opportunity to discuss and more research. And I think many of you already know where you would like to go. And we have a break now, so the sessions will start. And these are the places over here. Thank you.